Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz. This is kind of funny. Sorry about that, guys. So my name is Al Diaz, and I'm kind of confused here. Author of the Titus Costa, producer of the film Beyond Hope, a transformational guide. And I also have my co-host, Cindy Holbrook, a compassionate divorce coach of coachingfordivorcewomen.com. Today our topic is, how is it possible that a toxic relationship can be a good thing? First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio to rewrite your story, post page for upcoming shows and co-hosts, and also go to rewritestory.com for a very special gift that we're giving away. You know, Cindy, somebody once told me that being in a toxic relationship could be a good thing. And I thought to myself, how in the world is that possible? Well, I'd be lying to you and the audience if I haven't been in more than one toxic relationship. But I'd also be lying to you if I said that out of each of those relationships, there wasn't some golden nuggets for me personally to evolve and move forward and have greater awareness about myself and my relationships or my future relationships. So for me personally, there was wisdom that I gained while being in those relationships. It doesn't mean I like going through them it doesn't mean I enjoyed them or liked them, but once I came out of it and I reflected back on them, I realized that there was some good out of it because it showed me what I desired to have in life and what I didn't want to have in life.
I completely agree with you. You know, and a lot of times too, whenever you're in a toxic relationship, there's really very few, if any, toxic relationships that are 100% toxic. So, you know, people's always like, oh, you know, how could have I, you know, gotten into this relationship? Well, it's because it's not all toxic. And toxicity grows. You have the saying, you know, that negativity attracts negative. But also positive attracts positive, and toxicity attracts toxicity. And sometimes life happens where a once healthy relationship turns toxic. So there's all types of things, you know, with the toxic. And I do agree, life is a journey, and we learn from everything. And if you're looking at something and you keep saying, it's a bad thing, it's a bad thing, it's a bad thing, it's going to keep you stuck, and it's going to keep you going from toxic relationship to toxic relationship, because you're not finding the good in it. You're not finding those little pearls of wisdom inside of the toxic.
You know, and I know you have an announcement to say right now, but I want to piggyback off of what you just said. And that's what brought me to bring up this topic for our show today. Is because I've noticed it on myself, and I noticed it on our page, you know, and amongst, you know, other people or with my clients, is that all they think about or bring up is the bad stuff, you know, that they focus on the negativity. And as you said, if that's where you focus, that's what you're going to find, and that's what's going to keep coming into your life, whether in your present relationship or in your future relationships. And so we turn our heads away from the bad stuff and the negativity. Obviously, we have to acknowledge them, but we also have to refocus or focus on the good stuff. And at the very least, the wisdom that we gain from those relationships so that we can have a better relationship in our future.
Exactly. And to start out too, I do want to remind everybody that you can go to facebook.com/groups/ Your Toxic Relationship Dance, and you can talk to us live on via Facebook. You can also phone in to 713-955-0561. Or if you're on the Blog Talk webpage, there's a chat forum where Al can interact with you. So if you post any of those places, we would love to hear your thoughts on it. You know, I think with anything, you know, there's as I said earlier, there's good and there's bad. And I think even with my relationship with Earl, I mean, I met Earl, gosh, in the ninth grade. And And then we got married whenever I was 18 and was together for 20 years. Now, if I sit there and I tell you that that he yelled at me because I was late with a bill once and he went through the ceiling, or if I told you that he hit me once, or if I tell you that at one point he told me that I must have enjoyed the sexual abuse that I endured as a child, you would think this dude was a total asshole. What did she ever see in him? And a lot of people, I mean, whenever I tell the stories, people always, say, yeah, he was a real gem, wasn't he? And, how come you stayed married to him for so long? And I tell everybody, I can make Earl sound like the best man that ever lived, or the worst man that ever lived, depending upon what stories I tell you. And as humans, we are all born, we're all born innocent. We're born innocent as little babies. And life happens, things happen, and some people go dark. Some people go darker than others. However, I believe that there's good in everybody, and I believe that there's somebody there that loves them. And whenever you began this toxic relationship, you were getting something out of it. So what was you getting out of it? What good was you getting out of it? What is it did you need at that particular point in time? I know whenever I started dating Earl, one of the things that he brought to me that really was lacking in my life was laughter, because he told jokes all the time. So, also a lot of people, even if with children, they're like, there's nothing good about that relationship. Well, how about your children? There's always some.
Yeah, and to substantiate what you're saying, I don't know how toxic my previous relationship was, and I guess to some degree it was. What I do know is coming out of that relationship, it forced me to sit down, and we had talked about this with one of our previous guests, but at the time it forced me to sit down and made me write down, what is it that I want in my next relationship? What is that person going to be like? What am I going to contribute to the relationship? I don't know if you remember the conversation, but I listed like over 100 things, and I can't remember the guest that you brought on, but she said, Al, you got to bring it down to like 11 or 9 things. But it made me become very clear of what I wanted in my next relationship and what I didn't want. So that toxic relationship that I had or my previous marriage, it brought me to the point for me to finally sit down and say, okay, instead of going any, meeny, miny, mo and hope for the best, I wrote it down on paper. And like I said, I had like over 100 things that I wanted, and I narrowed it down to like 9 or 11, as our previous guest mentioned to me, to do on the air. And out of that came, a new person came into my life. And she fits almost all the 9 or 11 things that are on there. So there was some good that came out of it. Another thing, too, in that previous relationship, if it wasn't for her, she's the one who brought up, flat out told me, Al, you got to write a book. And I was resistant to it. But she was adamant, you have to write a book. That those words, you have to write a book, started my whole new journey that 12 years ago that I never would have imagined would have happened, and everything that I've done. So the reason I'm bringing this up is where's your focus? I understand we have to acknowledge the bad stuff and the negative stuff and stuff you don't longer want.
Right.
But as you said, Cindy, if we look at the golden nuggets, if we look at the wisdom, if we look at what the what we gain from it, then we could evolve even further than focusing on the negativity.
A couple things that I give Earl credit for, and like I said, despite the toxicity, and there was a period of time where I was very depressed, I was very suicidal, and a charter hospital had just opened up in Riverside County, and they were playing all these commercials on TV, and I thought, wow, I want to go there. So I talked Earl into taking me there to be assessed, And they wanted to commit me. I mean, this is how depressed and what state of mind I was in. And Earl said, absolutely not. No wife of mine is going to be committed. And I thank him for that because, you know, I mean, not that my depression was pure hell and some of the things that I went through. However, I was able to go through them without ever using any sort of drugs, without altering my mind. I was able to get through the depression and come out the other side so much healthier and stronger, both mentally and physically, because I never used any drugs. And I know for a fact that I've been committed, I would have went down a whole different road, and I probably wouldn't be on this call with you today. Another thing with Earl is there was one night where we had this huge argument, where he had this huge argument with my daughter. It was probably one of the worst nights of my life. And it was, we were up all night long just arguing and screaming. And it was about 5 o'clock in the morning, and Earl actually wound up kicking. My daughter was 14 years old. He kicked her out of the house. And I had a test that day to go and a test to work for Riverside County. And I wasn't going to go because I was so distraught. And Earl said, you're not going to miss that test just because of Amy. And he forced me to go. And I went, I aced the test, I got a job at Riverside County, which led to a very happy and fulfilling 20-year career in social services. So here's two things that happened that a lot of people would say were really bad, but they were blessings in the end. And also, whenever you're thinking about what type of a person you want, whenever I was still with Earl, I had my dream man that I used to always tell my girlfriend Liz about. And basically, it was Earl's good points, and it was also things that Earl's bad points reversed. So I wanted somebody who was smart and could talk about a variety of subjects, because with Earl, I could only talk about cars, his work, or bowling. And then I wanted somebody who was romantic, because Earl was not romantic in any way, shape, or form. He didn't even buy me flowers when my kids were born or after all the multiple surgeries I had. And I wanted somebody who was even-tempered, because Earl had such a bad temper. I wanted somebody who loved and respected me. And definitely not somebody who was a my way or the highway type person. And it was interesting whenever I started dating my husband, and I had some more things lined up there too, but my husband has every single quality that I dreamt about for 3 years while I was married to Earl during the last years before I decided to actually leave him. And in that respect, Earl taught me what I did not want. And so whenever you think about your toxic relationship, what is it that you do not want? Because you have to know what you do not want in order to even have an idea of what you do want. If you've never tried caviar, you don't know if you want it or you don't. If you've never tried hiking in the woods, you don't know if you want it or you don't. So it's the same with relationships. Whenever you have these relationships, regardless how long they are, they teach you what you do and you do not want in your life.
You know, another aspect to all this in regards to being the goodness of or the good that comes out of a toxic relationship, and one of the things that many people feel, and it's also indicated on our page, is that being alone, the fear of being alone or lonely, and, you know, after leaving a relationship, so people would rather be in a comfort zone of suffering rather than going to the unknown out of and dealing with the fear aspect. But another perspective to that is it gives you the opportunity to meet someone else. It gives you the opportunity. That toxic relationship gives you the opportunity to have what you truly desire, or to have in, what you desire to have in life or the relationship, whether it's a job, whether it's a friendship, whether it's an intimate relationship, a significant other. That toxic relationship gives you the opportunity to get up and leave and say, okay, I no longer, like you indicated, Cindy, I no longer want this or that. what I desire to have it, or what I require to have is this or that, whatever that is.
Right. It's so much, I totally lost my train of thought. Something had sparked inside of me, and then I lost it.
Well, let it out, girl.
The fear of being, the fear of being alone. It's the fear of being alone. And really and truly, the fear of being alone, prison of a toxic relationship. Literally, your fear is keeping you stuck in a prison because you're not free. You're constantly probably walking on eggshells. You're thinking, I want to do this, but I can't. You know, I had one client once who, she was married for a very long time, but her husband didn't like anybody in the living room with him when, at nighttime whenever he watched TV. So she actually, she lived in her bedroom. She would, like, get her dinner and go in her bedroom after she'd get home from work, get dinner, give it to her husband, and then she would take her dinner into her bedroom, and that's where she lived. And basically this is, and she thought, well, I'm not alone. But was that true? Was she alone or was she not? You have to start asking yourself, are you alone in this relationship? Because I know you've probably heard me say it before, but it's such a strong belief that there is absolutely nothing in this world as lonely as being alone in a relationship. And I understand the fear. Hey, I was there. I understand the fear. I mean, I stayed with Earl for years, partially out of fear of being alone. Once you're walk through that fear and you face it and you jump out the other side, you think, oh my God, I am free. Because being single does not equate being lonely, and it doesn't equate being alone. And so whenever you face this fear, you're opening up so many other opportunities for people to love you, for people to meet. And not just a quote-unquote mate. Because do you really want to say yes to your life? Do you want to live your life? Or do you want to stay stuck in fear of being alone for the rest of your life? Because if you're in fear of being alone, you are not living your life.
And, you know, what's interesting, and thank you for the inspiration, Cindy, what's interesting is that if you're in a toxic relationship, we also have to take responsibility and accountability, because there's some part of you that's allowing that experience to exist. There's some part of you that's allowing that relationship to exist, whether, as I said before, whether it's a job or a friendship or a relationship or a significant other. So there's some part of you that's saying, this is okay. Because otherwise, if it wasn't okay, you would never allow yourself to get involved in that kind of a relationship. And with that being said, and the extension to that is, if you're living in fear of being alone or lonely, and by removing yourself from that toxic relationship, or even leaving a job or a friendship that you've had for many years, if there's a fear factor, then in some sort of way you have a toxic relationship with yourself, because if you cannot evolve from a scenario that doesn't support you, or propel you to move forward, and you're willing to stay there because out of fear, then there's a toxic relationship with yourself, because why would you allow yourself to be in that situation? Why would you allow yourself to go through that experience? Why would you allow yourself not to, no, why would you disallow yourself from not moving forward? And then once you do move forward, and if you become sad and hurt and angry and suffering, I know we all have to mourn our situations that we're letting go, but if all you do is stay, remain and dwelling in that pain, then there's a toxic relationship with yourself. And then that goes back to what Cindy and I bring up, a lot of the times in our shows. It's about self-care and self-love. You have to evolve and move forward. And so there's another goodness about being in a toxic relationship, because it gives you the opportunity to evolve.
For self-growth. And that's what I was thinking. And through it all, regardless what has happened, be compassionate with yourself. You made the decision that you made at the time you made it because of your life experiences and your knowledge up to that point in time. However, it's a different day. And you're looking back and saying, hey, that might not have been the best choice. But you have to say, yes, that was the best choice for me at that particular point in time, because that is, because all I had to go off of at that time to make that choice was my previous experiences. But now I have no new experiences. Now I have new knowledge. So now I can move forward. And so be loving and compassionate with yourself, but always ask yourself, is this where I want to be? Is this really where I want to be in life? Is this really what I want to do, or am I doing it because I feel obligated to do it? Am I staying friends with this person because we've been friends for 20 years and I don't want to be a bitch and say that it's not working for us anymore? You know, so often we put so much pressure on ourselves, and whenever we put this type of pressure on ourselves, whenever you're afraid of being alone, whenever you're stuck in and thinking, you know, I just have to settle for this. I've heard this from people before. I'm so fat, nobody else would love me, so I just stay with him. I've heard, well, a gentleman that I knew said, whenever he got married, and I said, do you love her? And he goes, no, but she's better than nothing. And if you have that type of an attitude, you have to ask yourself, how is this bringing me happiness? Because if this is your attitude and if this is where you are, again, be loving and compassionate with yourself, but realize that you are not showing up as your best self for everybody around you. You're not being the best wife, the best husband, the best boyfriend, the best girlfriend, the best son, the best worker, the best employee, the best neighbor that you could be, because you are doing something that's not who you truly are, that it's something that you really don't want to do, because you're letting your emotions run your life. And emotions are going to come and go forever and a day. But whenever you dig down into who am I, what do I want? Is this really who I am? Is this really who I want to be? That's the big question as far as evolving and moving, because I don't care where you are. It's okay that you're where you're at. But is this where you want to stay? Is this truly who you are? And how can you evolve to move to the next step?
You know, Cindy, you just sparked something, and I'm getting a moment here as I'm listening to you. You just said a phrase I haven't heard in 10, 20, 30 years, probably 20 years, and that is, something is better than nothing. And I remember my friends and I used to say that, and not just for relationships or anything, but for whatever, you know, whatever the situation was. But as I was listening to you, I remember telling myself, something is better than nothing. And now what I'm realizing is my low self-worth, low self-esteem that I had for myself, that even though I had a massive ego that was masking my low self-esteem, I functioned in that paradigm, something is better than nothing. And which put me into relationships of having something that was better than nothing. And that's the aha that I'm having mm-hmm. right now. And I can right. imagine how many people function in that manner. Well, at least I have something. You know, at least I have
exactly.
something. Something's better than nothing. Or I have, at least I have a warm body next to me in bed. Or I have somebody to cook for me. Or I have somebody to talk to for a minute when I get home from work. And that's crazy to live that way.
And it's not going to make you happy, and it doesn't make anybody happy. You know, and it's something I had remembered as you were even talking, the something better than nothing, is I was going through a period of time where I was really struggling to find who I was, where I was as far as job was concerned, and I just felt like I needed a job. Now, mind you, whenever I was a senior in high school, I took an aptitude test. And literally, this test said that I had zero mechanical ability. So I'm not the person to talk to about mechanics. I took a job as a receptionist at this mechanical place. Pretty stupid, right? And I got fired from it, too, because I wasn't mechanical enough. But I remember I took the job because it was better than nothing. And so are you working at a job because it's better than nothing? Are you living in a house because it's better than nothing? Are you driving a car you don't want because it's better than nothing? Are you with a person because it's better than nothing? Anything like that, you're selling yourself short. And sometimes we might have to take the better for nothing at first, but it doesn't mean we have to settle for it. Because even if this is what we have, it's what's the next step? Is this where I want to be 3 months from now? Is this where I want to be 6 months from now? Do I want to be doing the same thing day in, day out, 10 years from now? If whatever toxic relationship you're in right this minute, how's it going to feel if you're in the same exact situation 5 years from now? And I'm sure it's going to feel pretty damn crappy. But the beauty of it is you have the ability to make it different, and only you can make it different. And, you know, I don't care how evolved a person is. There's aspects of my life right now that's crappy, and I'm sure there's aspects of Al's life right now that's crappy. But Al and I have evolved enough that we know that it's not going to stay crappy because we're continuously evolving and doing what we can to make it better. And this is what we want for you.
Absolutely. And going back to our topic, if you are in a toxic relationship, and it doesn't matter what the relationship is, but whatever it is, look at it. And here's a question that I tell my audience: what is life preparing you for? And so, what is this relationship preparing you for? What is it so that it's preparing you so that you can have what you want or desire in your next relationship? So you can have what you require in the next relationship. If this one's not quote unquote fixable, if it can't be corrected, and obviously that's the first thing you want to do. But if you've had enough and you're ready to move on, then look at this relationship and say, hey, okay, for my job, for this friendship, for this intimate relationship, for this significant other, this is what I desire from this point forward. I've had enough of this. This isn't working for me. But from this point forward, this is what I desire to have in life.
Exactly.
Well, Cindy, do you have any final thoughts or comments for our audience?
I don't. Know that you absolutely deserve the best, and everything you have, what you have, regardless how great or how little, because that's what you felt that you deserve. So ask yourself, what can I do to feel that I deserve something one step better? And then once you achieve that, ask yourself, what do I deserve? What do I deserve that's one step better? Because whenever you're continuously reaching for that next step, you will achieve what it is you want to achieve. And you can truly learn to have a happy, fulfilled life.
Awesome. And that's, you just heard speaking, her amazing wisdom is Cindy Holbrook, the Compassionate Divorce Coach of CoachingForDivorceWomen.com. Have you had enough of your going through? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from an existing pain to purpose that allows you to have the life you truly desire. My email address is al.diazforlove@gmail.com. And remember, every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, join us and tell the world, share the link, tell everyone about our radio and also our Facebook page. Join us and be with us every day. Thank you all for joining us. And remember that everything in our past, present, or future is for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day or a wonderful evening. Cindy, this is a great show. Thank you for being a joyous blessing in our life.
And thank you, Al. You rock, and all our listeners rock. And big hugs to you all. And remember, you are worth it.
Absolutely. Have a great day.